What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. It is 2022, and I'm your co-host, Hibby Two Top and a Half. What's up, everybody?
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, shit. Salty Salt. You know what? The gloves are off. I'm cursing. I don't give a shit. Ooh. I'm speaking my mind. I'm fucking angry. What's going on over there in fucking Pittsburgh?
Well, first of all, guys, we need to have a moment of silence for the horrors that AOC and Ted Cruz had to endure on the January 6th. This week was the anniversary, and so we're going to hold a moment of silence for them. We're going to talk about the left's latest pearl-clutching moments that occurred this week. Yes, Jeremy, you're going to love this. All right.
Do you like my feet?
Yeah.
You like my feet and my sandals?
Oh, dear Lord.
Mass,
what is going on?
Information psychosis. What is it? We're going to get into that. Also, the SCOTUS listens to arguments for and against the Biden administration's OSHA latest federal vaccination mandates. We'll see what happens. They're going to, I don't know what they're doing, but apparently the decision has to come.
They don't
by
know
Monday.
What they're doing.
And we're also going to talk. We're going to get into this. This one's going to be a fun one. The battle of the generations. You've heard battle of the sexes. This one's the battle of the generations. Baby boomers versus Gen X versus millennials versus Gen Z. A different approach at this. And we're going to talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show. Buddy, welcome back. It's 2022,
welcome.
Or according to Biden, 2020 times two.
So, you guys, do you remember when? Well, I remember when I was younger.
It's 2020 also two. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was younger. Right, you would actually write out checks.
Yeah.
You know, and on the check, you always you have to put the date.
You're gonna
and every
it
time
up.
The year flipped over, it took you a couple of months to get that right. Right, you're always putting. You know, 2007 when it's 2008, you're like, crap.
Even for homework assignments, right? Because remember, you know, we're the the battle of the fucking sexes over here with the generations. We were one of the last, I was one of the last generations that actually had to write on loose leaf paper and hand in fucking homework assignments, handwritten, not typed. So we always had to put the date.
You always had that one teacher that wouldn't take the paper if the edge was all wrinkled up on that.
When
you rip it out of the spiral.
Oh my God, I fucking hated that.
Yeah.
Apparently we're also the last generation that's learned cursive, by the way. It's done and over with.
No, we're teaching our daughters cursive. Good. But yeah.
I know how to write cursive, but goddamn. Well, my handwriting looks like a fucking 2-year old.
Well,
right, but just think about it. It's like my name twice.
It's like writing secret messages to your wife, right? You just write it in cursive, give it to the kid, give that to your mom. They won't know how to read it. They'll look at it and go, what is that?
Idiocracy, bro. Idiocracy.
Yeah.
All right, Jeremy. Anyway, let's get into this. What's up with the J Files today? Let's get the music.
All right. So
what's up?
I was out on the internets. Why do people call it the internets?
Because they're dumb.
Okay. I was on the internet looking for stories.
The World Wide Webs.
You know, it was a bad week. I think it was a bad week for strange news. But I did find a couple articles, and then I want to run into some questions for you guys, right? So the first headline reads, cows have been given virtual reality headsets so that they think they're outside.
Wait, say that again?
Okay.
Oh, the VR with the cows?
Yeah.
Cows are given virtual reality headsets so they feel like they're outside.
That's dangerous, bro.
But where are they? They're like in their pen. I mean, like, are they?
So what happens is so the article goes on to say, even cows get affected by the winter weather. So in an attempt to make them think that they're in a warmer climate, one farmer has fitted his cows with virtual reality goggles. Izzet Kokak, a farmer in Turkey,
oh my God,
went out and put VR goggles on a couple of his cows to make them feel as though they're out on enjoying the sun outside, enjoying the sun and the green pastures. To your point, you were asking, you know, the sunshine and green pastures, right?
True.
And so basically the whole idea behind it is to make the cows feel more relaxed, more comfortable, right? And they give more milk that way. Well, apparently it's working for this guy. He says normally he gets about 22 liters of milk out of them a day, when he started putting the VR goggles on, he was getting 27. So he was getting another 25% more milk.
That's not milk. So, that's coming out of a.
Hold on. So okay. I was going to. So this is funny because, you know, before I saw this picture, before I pulled up the picture, I was in my mind, I'm thinking, well, a cow's head is much bigger
than a Samsung phone.
Their eyes are very different. And so those headsets are built for the human shaped head. And so I was wondering, how is he going to put this? And yeah, if you look at the picture, he's using two. He's put two different goggles, one on each eye.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's achieving. Okay.
The world has gone mad.
Yes. Well, I mean, if it, how much does a goggle like that cost?
I don't know. A couple hundred bucks.
And if he gets, you know, 20-25% more milk out of his cows, maybe it's worth it. He's getting more in return, right?
Just buy almond milk. It's better than regular
milk. Let your cows outside.
It's better than regular milk.
Oh, I don't know if I've ever... Saul, have you had almond milk?
It's actually really good.
No,
I don't think it is.
It doesn't have all the, you know, it's actually got all the same nutrients and more, you know, than regular milk. And it doesn't have all the homogenization and the pasture, you know, all the chemicals they throw in that crap.
Yeah. All right.
It's actually really good.
So I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Do you know when the burrito was invented and who invented it?
Yeah. Kim Jong-un
invented it in 2011. What? You believe that? Yeah.
North Korea is Mexican.
Yeah.
Now.
North Korea. And they don't call it a burrito. They call it a wheat wrap, I think is what they call it. Hold on, let me.
Hold on.
Yeah, wheat wrap.
Is it that they created it and then they created it first, or did they create it and then exported it out to the rest of the world? Because, for example, you know, the question like who first started creating pyramids? You know, in history, was it the Aztecs? Was it the Egyptians? You know what I mean? Like, and when did it happen? Or did they copy each other? Or were they part of? So my question is. Is it that they invented the burrito or that they were the first to create that concept?
And I'm going to say neither because the North Koreans are a bunch of fucking liars.
Yes, they've been communists for a very long time. Well, they've been communists for how long?
Right. So you think so? Nobody knows that in North Korea, nobody knows that a burrito exists until Kim Jong-un.
Yes.
The father of the crazy guy running the show now said he invented it back in 2011. It's the next story. If you want to switch to the next story, you can see the...
Dude, have you seen that Rocket Man lost like 350 pounds? The guy looks skinnier than me.
Well, that's because everybody around him is starving to death because of socialism. Wait, communism.
So I guess I misunderstood you because I was thinking...
Yeah.
I was thinking that this was back when... Because you said King...
No.
Jung... King Il Jung, right? Which is the father?
Kim Jong Un, right? The father. Kim Jong
Il.
Un. Il. I'm sorry, Il.
Kim Jong Il. So that's why. Okay. So because Kim Il Sung, I think, was the first one of the guys. Let me see here. I forget. Anyway, so I was thinking it was the first
grandpappy.
Right?
Yeah. No. Sorry. Yeah, so Tim obviously hopped onto my story and stole the punchline.
No,
so
I just Timmy, you know what it Timmy, is. I happened to see, you up. I happened to see it. I mean, dude, you got to remember, I'm on Twitter all day long, so this shit I see all day long.
Yeah, so apparently they advertise them as wheat wraps instead of burritos. Obviously, they can't call them burritos, right? But wheat wraps, and I guess Kim apparently advised that they're best consumed with mineral water in the summer and hot tea in the winter. So that is how you're supposed to eat your burritos, people.
Well, the God has spoken.
Spring water in the summer, hot tea in the winter.
Wow. Yeah. I saw this, the interview with a young girl. She was actually on a few of the podcasts, and she was talking about how, yeah, a lot of people, whenever their leader speaks, he's basically like a God. To them. And
yeah, they words just start infallible. Crying and mm-hmm. bow. Yeah, they're out of control.
That's funny.
All right, next story, next and last story, and then I have some questions for you guys.
Okay.
All right. Man tries to dodge COVID vaccine by using a fake arm.
Yep, Italy.
A dentist in Italy who needed to get a certificate to prove that he was vaccinated, didn't want the vaccination, went into the vaccination place with a foam rubber arm and attempted to get the shot injected into the foam arm.
Well, it's like having, sometimes people get the fake dicks.
For the urine test. Yeah. So this guy was a dentist in Italy. And so he needed it to travel, go to restaurants and whatever. And plus he needed it for his medical practice, but he didn't want to get the shot. So he went in there. And of course the nurse figured it out right away. And she's just like, yeah, no.
It's like my needle broke.
Well, no, she's like, when she first uncovered it, the skin felt cold and gummy and was the wrong color. It's just like,
that's when you just whip it out and be like, hey, you shoot me with this and I'll throw you a bone. You know what I'm saying?
What?
We'll barter. Well, you just put it on the table.
You're disgusting.
Wait, give her a bone.
You're disgusting.
Yeah. So basically he went in there with
a jab.
He went in there with two rubber foam arms. And he admitted that his ultimate goal was to obtain a COVID-19 certificate without receiving the shot.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, I don't blame him either. I don't know if I would try to fake it, but
well, you see what the I don't know how old he is, but did you see what Italy just did? Because I know I spam you guys all day long, and you probably don't even read any of them. But Italy just imposed vaccine mandates for 50 and older. Like no questions asked. Like 50 and older. Oh shit, that's funny. 50 and older mandated. Can't say no.
Well, overrun your governments, people. That's all I can say.
Arm yourselves.
They're not your leaders. And you are responsible for your future. You need to take control of that.
Yep.
Anyway, Jeremy, right. I enjoyed the J Files. I don't know. Saul, did you enjoy them this week? I mean, they were a little soft, but
it sounds like.
But everybody forgets. Everybody does forget that it's limbo week, as the good Tim Pool always says. Limbo. The last week of the year is always limbo week, where everybody has to go to work, but nobody's doing anything.
Right, and then the weekend of just January, everyone's coming back and not interested in working, so that kind of goes to hell pretty quick.
So we're back from limbo week. I mean, we were on limbo. We didn't do a show for like 2 weeks, and somebody was here in Arizona, and we didn't do a show.
It was nice.
What was up with that?
It was nice, man, to just have some time off.
Did you have a good time back in town?
Yeah, it was good seeing everybody. I didn't get to see everybody. That's the crazy thing about it. I did get to rest a lot, celebrate my birthday out there. It was fun. So it was good to see everybody.
Yeah, New Year's was a shit show.
Yeah, happy birthday. So you're like, what, 67 now?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I mean, my body.
There you go. Your body's that way, right? Mm. I still think we all need to go to our doctors and get notes from our doctor saying we have the body of an 83-year-old and just start filing for Social Security. You're like,
exactly.
I identify as a 78-year-old and citizen. I have medical proof that says I am.
Right. And the ages, you know what I mean? Anyway, okay, so we're not going to get into the conversation, but let's get into... what happened this week, the insurrection, the anniversary, and I'm going to show you, I might show you a couple videos here. So basically, Slow Biden and Kumquat Harris, they decide to address the nation and, basically put on a show. I mean, I know Tim, you saw it. I don't know if Jeremy, you saw any of this. I didn't watch it the day of. I wasn't gonna feed into this hysteria, because we know what the left is gonna do with this. They're gonna use this. I mean, and they did. And I'm gonna let her say with her voice how they equated this this whole thing. So this is the story from NBC. They do a good summary of it, and then we'll watch it, and I'll stop it every now and then to comment on how ridiculous the Democrats are.
I actually had to turn it off. I tried watching it live just to see. The minute she opens her mouth, I'm like, I want to punch her in the face. Yeah. Like, she's the most unlikable person. Like, she's like she's a twat. Like, she really is. She's not a good person. I can't believe.
Who is this that we're talking about?
Kamala Harris.
Oh, okay.
I can't see her actually having friends. She's like that person.
She has less friends than Joe Biden.
Right. But like, she's like that person that like when they show up, everyone's just like, oh,
oh, you're here. Okay.
It's like when I show up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a little bit.
But she's like the most unlikable person. Like you couldn't even sit down and have a cup of coffee with her and talk about like just life in general. She looks like she's a nasty person. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you summarized it very well. So let me play this story. I'm going to let NBC News with Lester Holt,
that fucking cook,
tell us about I don't know, man. Like, I try to put myself in their shoes and see if they're sincere. Are they really sincere? And do they really think that our nation's the democracy and our republic was in danger? I'm looking at even the videos that they provide do not show that. I mean, if you wanted to equate this to 9/11, I mean, you didn't have to go far before you saw a video of a fucking airliner hitting a fucking building and fire. And you know what I'm saying? Like, but watch that with that in mind and what this bitch says. Watch this.
Outside the Capitol today, a somber scene and sharp contrast to those indelible images from a year ago.
Okay, pause. Okay, Jeremy, what image do they decide? Now, again, if you're going to equate this to 9/11, to Pearl Harbor, you see what I'm saying? What image comes to mind? You know, right. For the listener who doesn't see it, Jeremy, describe this image is that they put up there.
I see a handful of people climbing up a block wall. Kind of looks like an Antifa riot that you'd see on every street corner in this country these days.
Is there fire there?
No fire. No
smoke. Are
there
any guns?
No guns. No knives. No bombs going off. No one wearing. Well, I guess they're wearing masks because they have to wear masks.
Is there any blood anywhere here?
No blood. No blood.
Okay. And so again, just watch this, and there's a contrast between the images that they're showing and the words that they're using to describe this. It's fucking weird.
Rioters breaching the building and the nation's democracy, attacking officers, parading a noose in the crowd, scuffling with police inside.
Okay, let me rewind this. Again, I'm dissecting this because we need to do this. Because this is angering. Okay, now, she said something. Parading a noose.
Okay. Jesse Smollett's there.
Exactly.
Bubba Wash is there.
Let's not make the equivalent of what they have done and what we saw here. Okay. Let's say this is real and there's some racist here who put this here. However, she used a phrase and she says parading or let me play it again. But you tell me if that's what the image shows. Hold on. God damn it.
It looks like a stationary.
Yeah.
Looks like two power poles that I'm assuming have been buried into the ground.
To me, it looks like somebody threw that up there and then just left. Parading to me is you're carrying it with you and you're showing it to everybody and you're like, here, this is.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, that's not the case at all. That's not paraded.
In the crowd, scuffling with police inside Statuary Hall.
Scuffling. What's the definition of scuffling?
Fighting and
because I'm looking at this guy. I'm looking at this guy in the front who's staring at a police officer. He's got his hands in the pockets of his hoodie.
But
okay. How is that scuffling with the police,
Jeremy? So like, see, this is the thing because they use still images. If what they're describing really happened, how they describe it, they would have shown those videos. They would have shown people punching a police officer. They would have shown all these videos. But you know why? Guess why a lot of this footage is not available, Jeremy?
Because it doesn't exist. Because
Nancy Pelosi won't release it.
They won't release these hours of video, Jeremy. I mean, this is the halls of Congress. And you're telling me that you don't have cameras. They have cameras. They just don't want to release them. And you know why they don't want to release them? Because they would show completely the opposite of what this woman is saying. You know, scuffling and you know, it's like, okay, where's the video? There is none. And so we're supposed to believe this made up bullshit, Jeremy. Made up. This is fucking made up. And I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the documentaries they were showing out there. Was there some shit that happened outside? Yes, of course there was. But who were those people? Who were they? And this is what a lot of people are saying, is that this was Antifa. They're the ones who did this. And the fact that the guy, one of the guys who was caught on camera, sold his video. He was wearing MAGA gear, instigating fighting. He was caught on camera saying to one of the other reporters, "We did it. We did it." What do you mean we did it?
It was the BLM kid.
Yes.
It was the BLM kid with the CNN reporter.
So they orchestrated this. Now they don't want. Okay. So anyways, I don't want to relive that, but I'm just playing this video so you can hear what they're saying and what you're actually seeing.
All unfolding right where President Biden and Vice President Harris were today to mark a painful.
Okay. I'm just going to.
Anniversary.
I will defend this nation.
Okay. First, when have you seen when have you seen this guy this awake? No, for real. This guy, all the goddamn time, he's like, blah, 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 half a fucking asleep. And here, he's full of passion. It's fucking weird.
Because they shot him in the ass with fucking adrenaline.
Yeah. He's either that, or they're fucking really using this as a way to create division. Let me play this again. Listen, look how alive Biden is all of a sudden.
To mark a painful anniversary.
I will defend this nation. And I will allow no one to place a dagger at the throat of democracy.
In his most forceful attack against his predecessor, the president placing blame squarely at the feet of former President Trump without ever mentioning him by name.
For the first time in our history, a president had not just lost an election, he tried to prevent the peaceful transfer of power.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Never mind all the fucking Russian collusion that the Democrats did, all the fucking bringing him in, freaking trying to impeach him multiple times. Oh, no, that's not a threat to democracy.
Not even that. People forget that on January 6th, 2017.
Yeah.
They were doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
They wanted to go through all the electors and say, well, they cheated here. These numbers are wrong. They tried doing the same exact thing in 2017. Yeah. They were trying to do everything that they could to stop him from becoming president. And then people forget on January 20th or 24th, whatever the day, whatever inauguration day is.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C., they actually had an interregnum. Like, they had full-blown riots in the streets.
Yeah.
Like full-blown firebombing cars, all
you
this
don't remember
shit.
Seeing Trump
that's
running.
Not a threat to democracy.
Trump and what's her name had to be running because was like it was chaos. That was healthy democracy. This is how the left works, dude.
Yeah,
fucking weird.
When they do it, it's we're fighting for democracy. When we do it, you're Nazis, you're fascists, you're authoritarianism, and I'm going to fix it all. Yeah.
So I'm playing this, and this is going to lay the groundwork to Ted Cruz's, some are calling it, you know, put his foot in his mouth. Some are saying that he's compromised. I'll let you be the judge of that. But again, I'm just laying the groundwork here because, see, and we never made that mistake on this show. From the beginning, we said, this is fucking bullshit. It's bullshit. And every single Republican elected official who went out and was on camera and saying, yeah, this was a, you know, terrorist. Fuck you. No, it wasn't. It never fucking was. If anything, this is what the founders envisioned. They envisioned vigorous dissent from the other side. They expect this. In fact, they even had it. Folks, Alexander Hamilton fucking died in a duel with Burr. You know what I mean? Like, and so you want to talk about, oh, well, yeah, there's never been this much divide. Get the fuck out of here. We're talking about Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton disagreeing, even hating each other. So this is new talk about, oh, we've never been this divided. It's okay to be divided. It's okay. In fact, government should fear the people. Government needs to fear the people. Yep.
You know what nobody talks about? You want to know what a true threat to democracy was? March 1st, 1971. Bomb explodes in the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., causing $300,000 in damage. You know who did that? A group called itself the Weather Underground claimed credit for bombing, which was done in protest of the ongoing U.S.-supported Laos invasion. Okay? Weathermen, right? The so-called Weathermen were a radical faction of the Students for Democratic Society, basically communists, yeah. Right? So you basically, you had the left, the radical left, firebomb, had a bomb go off in the fucking goddamn Capitol building. That is a threat to democracy because you try blowing that motherfucker up. You have a bunch of fucking, you know, MAGA grandmas, meemaws walking in there with flags following the fucking red lines. Yeah. Yes. We've always said. The ones that did stupid shit, yes, you go to jail if you incited true
not
violence.
For
but
a goddamn year.
Right. Yeah. No, their sentences are even. Yeah. But all these people that went in there, all they did, they trespassed. If anything, all they did was trespass. That's a bullshit misdemeanor. See, most of it gets thrown out of court.
But see,
okay?
Tim,
not sit in a gulag in Washington, D.C. Sorry.
The problem is that it's not evenly applied. Because as you mentioned, there were riots during the Kavanaugh hearing. They freaking insurrected and they got in and they were cheering and everybody was celebrating during the Kavanaugh. You remember this, okay? They arrested people. 200 some people got arrested that day. Nobody got charged.
All like
nobody.
AOC
got charged. So
AOC.
Let me make this point. Okay. If we're gonna go after and call one an insurrection and the other a beautiful display of democracy at work, this is where again it's a mass information psychosis that's happening, folks.
Mm-hmm.
We are experiencing and the news media. There's collusion between the news media, Hollywood, the Democrats, the big tech giants. This collusion is real. It's happening in real time, and we're gonna talk about. You know what happened to Joe Rogan this week, the week before. Joe Rogan has an expert, what was his name, Dr. Malone, on his show. YouTube removes the video, and so what does Joe Rogan do? Joe Rogan says, okay, this is he's starting to see this, and I think he's been seeing this for a while, and so he goes and gets a Getter account. 500,000 people go and subscribe in a day, dude. And that's how powerful and more people need to do this and more people need to ask the question, what would happen? And so when you want to talk about what's a threat to democracy, this is what's a threat to democracy. It's the collusion that's happening between these tech giants. And they did this because they were smart. Because if you remember, the whole Russian collusion bullshit was just a ploy for them to pass legislation that would coordinate all these news mediums and these news outlets and these places where news gets disseminated. And what they said was, we need to prevent Russian interference in this. And so they passed sweeping power that allowed them to coordinate whenever there needed to be censorship. This is true, folks. Okay, so now that they passed this, now they're using that new power that they gained as a way to control the narrative and only, censor or fact check things that they don't agree with. Okay, I'm going to continue playing this because this, again, the story of the anniversary of the insurrection, it gets better. Keep watching.
As a violent mob breached the Capitol.
Mr. Biden arguing his predecessor's false claims about election fraud and failure to accept defeat led to the attack that day.
He can't accept he lost. He refused to accept the results of an election and the will of the American people. His bruised ego matters more to him than our democracy or our Constitution.
Okay, so he's obsessed. He's obsessed. They're still continuing to talk about Trump as if he's still in power. And then you got to ask yourself, why, this is weird. Why are they so adamant? And even the Democrats right now are thinking about passing legislation that's going to prevent him from ever running again.
So I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
So this is why Build Back Broke is pretty much dead, right? We already know that. I mean, there might be a slight chance Manchin turns his back on it, but they even tried saying, oh, yeah, he's still back in talks. He's like, no, I'm done with that. they want to use this to pass the John Lewis voting rights, right? So this is their new talking point, attack on democracy, blah, blah, blah. This is why we need to federalize all elections, right? And then Mark Elias, that guy, who's always been involved in all this crap. He's a tough guy, right? He's behind a lot of their stuff. He was behind the steal in 2020. He came out and said, oh, what we need to do is any of the elected officials that had anything to do with January 6th need to be disqualified from office. So Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump. So basically this same guy that coordinated the steal in 2020 is now going to take them all to court and try to get them all disqualified. Because if they get disqualified
for running for the office, they already hold?
Disqualified from office, which means they lose their position and they could never run again.
Under what rules is that?
They would be deemed terrorists or aiding and abetting terrorists. This is what
a threat to democracy. Yeah.
Yeah.
These words, the reason why you keep hearing the threat to democracy, it's about going into the midterms and what they're going to do. Because the more they get this ingrained in people's heads, this is why yesterday, even Tucker was like, we went to four different news sources and they all kept saying the same thing. He's like, we had to stop counting. They said attack on democracy. He's like, they said like after like the eighth, ninth time, he's like, we had to turn it off. Like we couldn't believe this is happening.
Yeah. And this one here, again, it's basically what they were saying. And so I'm going to keep playing it because, again, there's gold here for us for the show as we can dissect this. Because, again, mass information psychosis, folks, the left is doing and you would think, well, people are smart enough to see through. No, they're not. People are lazy. The left only they talk about the right being in echo chambers. They're the ones in echo chambers, folks. They get leftist views in throughout school. They get leftist views in their programming, in the movies that they watch, in the news that they watch. They don't get as exposure to the other side the way that the right does. Okay, because the right, we have to watch their movies. We have to see their news shows. We have to watch, they are the ones who live in echo chambers. Because they just regurgitate everything that they've heard and that they've learned. Okay, so let me play this because it's important too.
Slamming Mr. Trump's inaction as the riot was happening.
Okay, so what Biden, this is glorious. What Biden's going to do here, you're going to hear him, is going to talk about his inaction while this was happening. Okay, now, I'll let it play and we'll talk about it.
We didn't see a former president who had just rallied the mob to attack sitting in the private dining room off the Oval Office in the White House, watching it all on television and doing nothing for hours.
And black.
Okay.
Get off my lawn.
first of all,
that's what it sounds like.
When he says,
he has to take a drink of water.
No. Okay, let me ask you this question. And this is why again, the news is fake. Because if they had the soundbite, they would have played it, folks. If they had Trump on camera, on audio, saying, I want you guys to go into that Capitol and do anything that you can do to make them aware. If they had it on video, folks, they would have played it. It's not there. Because he never said that. In fact, he said, go and do it peacefully.
Walk down the street, let your voices be heard. That's it. That's what everybody, that's what you're supposed to do in a protest.
And so again, the news media carries Joe Biden's water here. Because he knows that that's what they're going to do. Because all he has to do is be like, he just sat there and the news media says, oh, yeah, he incited all this and then he just sat back. This is why, see, here's one place where Europe has got it right and America doesn't, and it's on these slander and libel laws. Because in America, for public figures, they you don't get that, you know, you can't
protection.
Sue. You don't get that protection. And so if a news organization lies about you like this, because this is libel, this is slander, you know what they're saying about president, they never said that. And so Trump can't go and challenge them and take him to court and drag him to court and says, you said this, this is, you need, you know, and so you're, they do have those laws, you know, where they, because, you know, these are public figures and, oh, you know, they're not protected, whereas a private citizen is. Doesn't make sense to me. If anything, they should be, you know, be able to say, hey, you can't lie about me. You know what I'm saying? Like, why do we think that it's okay for a news organization to lie and not be held accountable for that, for spewing out that lie? Anyway, I'll let this finish and move on.
Blasting those who have continued to push the so-called big lie that the election was stolen.
He's not just a former president. He's a defeated former president.
The vice president so comparing January 6th to infamous attacks on the U.S. that killed thousands, including Pearl Harbor and 9/11.
Certain dates echo throughout history. December 7th, 1941. September 11th, 2001. And January 6th, 2021.
Okay. In what universe?
They all end in ones. You haven't noticed that?
In what universe? Yeah, that's right. In what universe are these even on the same?
They're not.
They're not.
They're not. We all know they're not. They know they're not. When she had to read that, do you think she honestly believes that?
See,
no.
Okay, hold on. Because you're right, Tim. You're absolutely right. And this is why
they're not dumb.
This is why I believe that this whole vaccine bullshit, it's all correlated. Again, mass information psychosis. They have drilled it so much for so long that people believe this as if it's gospel, as if it's true, that even to question the effectiveness of a vaccine, oh, now you are anti-vaccine. To merely say, hey, you know what? I'm double vaccinated myself, but I don't want to mandate this. Oh, well, you're anti-vaccine. And we're gonna listen a little bit to the Supreme Court hearing that happened today, Friday, where even the Supreme Court justices who are supposed to be led by fact and not feelings.
Law. No, wait. Hold on.
Law. Exactly.
Law. They need to be worried about law. That's it.
And their line.
This is the policy. Of what's the
questioning.
Law?
Their line of questioning is, dude. I when I was listening to this today, I started to panic, man. I was like, this cannot. We're fucked. We are fucked, folks. Because the Supreme Court is supposed to be the last. You know, unfortunately. It wasn't designed this way, but now it is. It's the last line of defense, and they're basically becoming legislative bodies that sit on a bench. This is what's happening because their line of questioning centered around, you know, we need to do something to prevent a bunch of people from dying. Sorry, that's not your job, Supreme Court. Your job, Supreme Court, is to interpret the law. Is this legal? Yes or no? Not to appeal to my emotion. What the fuck? That is for the politicians to do. This is for politicians. This is for executive branch. The law is blind. That's why you see that. What is that? Lady Justice, whatever, you know, or, you know, she's wearing the blind and she has a scale.
Yeah,
I think it is.
Is it Lady Justice?
I don't know what it's
called. I think it's Lady.
But you know, it's an image you see on every freaking courtroom. And so because what the law is, it's blind. It doesn't care if you're poor. It doesn't care if you're rich. It doesn't care if you've lost everything, you know, up to this point. The law says, is this legal? That's what we're interpreting here. It's fucking crazy. And it's so angering. And I'm going to let this lady finish. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what Ted Cruz said. Fucking moron. But let her finish, dude.
Before you hit play, based on what you were saying about SCOTUS, I was searching for this. Mike Cernovich actually had a really good take on this. You know, and he goes, SCOTUS is the last remaining American institution with mystique. Today was a bad day for the court's legitimacy, with multiple justices spreading disinformation about children on ventilators and daily cases exceeding total U.S. population. This is why we say we're fucked, because there and that. But this ties into all of this voting rights, fucking vaccine mandates, great reset, fucking all this shit. If you have three judges that are activists and not judges and justices looking at the rule of law, but it's going, well, people, COVID is spreading. So we need vaccines. They work. That's not no. That's policy. That's not rule of law. You are now trying to dictate policy from the, but no, that's not your job. That's what the legislative branch is.
Yeah.
For. And that's dangerous, because with attack on democracy, because if they do decide to pass this somehow, half this shit goes against complete fucking constitution. So now you're going to have to allow these nine judges that seem to all be activists these days, looking at this on both sides a little bit and looking at this going, is this truly rule of law or is this benefits our party? You know what I'm saying? Rule of law is what the Supreme Court is supposed to uphold. And they're not. Even Justice Roberts, real quick. I know we got to go. He came out earlier in this week saying, guys, we have to stop. We have to take the politics out of justicing. He actually said that this week. Yeah. He's like, we gotta stop ruling from the bench, basically.
Yeah.
Or legislating from the bench. He did come out and say that.
See,
this week.
But and what's crazy, because you said something, right? And I know you do to be balanced. You say both sides do it, okay? Meaning that the conservatives on the bench do it, side with on their side. But the problem is that when the conservatives that sit in the legislative in the judicial body in the Supreme Court, when they veer away from sticking to the law, they veer left. They never veer right.
They never do.
You see what I'm saying? Okay, we got to make that distinction, because it's always Trump puts in Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh and these motherfuckers. You know, they do shit, and you're like, what the fuck are we doing, guys?
Like, what was the point of putting you on that?
What was the point of fighting for you? And you know what I mean? Like, and saying, because you put your neck out for people, right? And because everybody's calling you, oh, well, you're for raping women if you support this guy. What? And then he gets thrown in there. And then all of a sudden he's like, well, maybe I'm going to vote with the liberals. God damn, mother. It's just demoralizing. It's frustrating. So is. It's frustrating. Okay. So let's finish listening to the Joe and the Ho.
After the speeches, former President Trump dismissing the event as political theater, saying it was just a distraction for the fact Biden has completely and totally failed. And
this guy has a batting average, man. I'm telling you, every time, everything he says, he's right on. He's dead on here. This is exactly what this is. Yeah.
Without Twitter, he still gets more engagement than anybody. He's tweeting through these email blasts.
Yeah, exactly.
Hilarious.
All right, let me finish this.
Want to own January 6th so they can stoke fears and divide America. Yep. Trump ally Lindsey Graham called for the rioters to be prosecuted, but also slammed Mr. Biden's speech as an effort to resurrect a failed presidency. Sharp partisan divides were on display today. Few Republicans participating.
Good.
Only Congresswoman Liz Cheney and former Vice President Dick Cheney there for a moment of silence.
Fucking cucks.
Yeah.
All right.
The most hated Republican from 2000 to 2008. He was the most hated fucking Republican in Washington, more than Bush, more than all of them. This guy hated Democrats. And now he's sitting there fucking in arms with fucking Uniparty, you fucking circle. People. You've been duped. You've been duped.
Exactly. It's a jerk circle. This is like, look at them. Oh, by the way, the party that abolished God, they removed God from their platform, all of a sudden, found God and they want to pray.
Mm-hmm. Then a prayer vigil at dusk, solemn ceremonies remembering a day that changed America.
You know what's funny is that a lot of the comments, and a lot of people. Who support the leftists, they're like, everything was cool, but why are they praying? It's like, they're so angry that the Democrats are still holding on to, but not for long. I mean, it's going away, and then eventually the Republicans are right behind them. All right. Let me. So that's that. And now I'm going to play. When all this is happening, Ted Cruz decides to say something that had many scratching their head. And it's like, because, you know,
I was texting you.
Yeah.
I was texting you about that shit. Yeah. I was like, this motherfucker.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I'm going to play it. But think about what could be happening. Why is he saying this? Is he compromised? Is this a political ploy to position himself in a better position than Trump? Or is he simply a coward? So let me play this. This is fucking weird.
And it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, where we saw the men and women of law enforcement demonstrate incredible courage, incredible bravery.
Mm.
So he went on Tucker last night after this. He went on Tucker.
Yeah, Tucker destroyed him.
Annihilated him. And Tucker even told him, he goes, because he's trying to explain, he's like, maybe it was a bad choice of words, but he's like, I've always said that anybody, you know, in my entire career, and it's true, he's always said anybody that goes after police officers and attacks cops, he could call them terrorists. But he's like, in this case, this was a bad idea. You know, Tucker Carlson, he just literally laughed at him. He goes, I don't believe you. He's like, you're in the Senate. I do not believe you. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't know if you were just trying to play down to their talking points or what. And he's like, I really don't believe you. And he's like, this is weak. Your response is weak. And Cruz is like, yeah, he backtracked the whole thing. Well, but yeah. I'm like, you go from fighting Ted for after Trump destroyed you. You went from, you know, lying Ted to fighting Ted back to the fucking cuck Ted, you know?
Yeah.
And it's sad because outside of little things like this, he is a good conservative. He fights. He's a smart guy. You know, he's a leader into a degree, right? But when you do this, you're playing to DC, not to what's right.
And you're right, Tim, because you know what's going to happen is that now that this is a soundbite. This is a soundbite that they can now use against him and say, well, you called it, you know, because the next day he backpedals, you know, when he's on Tucker, he's like, well, that's not what I meant. And, but okay, but it's too late, bro. It's too late. I look, as much as I, you know, I did like Ted Cruz, you know, when it was him and Trump left, I was like, you know, I voted for Cruz in the primaries. But you know what I mean? Like he tries to play this political game. And I think we're past that, folks. I think we're, you know, you cannot, you know, both sides are moving to the ends of the spectrum. This is what's happening. They're becoming polarized.
No balance.
They're not. And he's trying to play this. Well, let me move towards the center. And it's like, bro, you're just, and everybody hates him. You know, you think you're going to appease the left with this? No, they don't care. They're never going to vote for you. And so then the question becomes, well, why would he do it? And somebody, well, somebody was saying that, you know, a lot of the people who donated to him, you know, he's got a lot of, you know, lobbyist money that, mm-hmm. you know, has leftist anyways. But I don't know enough about it. But I'm just saying what some conservatives are saying. Okay, so
well, he was at Turning Point. He was one of the featured speakers, right? Yep, you know, always he was the keynote, right, over Posobiec, right, yep. on Monday, and he gave a firing speech. You went from doing that to this.
Yeah.
So either I look at it as either Turning Point is got a bad judgment of character with some of these people, or they're all in on this shit. You know what I mean? Like it's like they're just playing everybody. You know, because you need fighters right now. Look, I'm all about balance, but the left don't want to play. It's either you play by their rules or you don't play at all. Fuck you. You don't give them an inch no more. You don't give them an inch. Man. And people forget what this guy did right before Christmas. He was holding up so many of Biden's nominations, ambassadors and this, that, and the third, right? He was the guy holding it up. They struck some deal. And then right before Christmas, he got what he wanted. He got them to like maybe possibly look into sanctioning Nord Stream 2 with Russia with all this Ukraine stuff, right? And then he approved all of Biden's radical freaking appointees. He was the guy holding it up and could have killed these guys in the crib. He could have not killed this whole administration. But because they struck a deal with them and then he goes, does this? I don't have respect because he gave him an inch. Yeah. They would not give Donald Trump an inch that presidency. They fought it the entire time, and these guys are cowering every step of the way. Him, McConnell, Lindsey Graham, all of them.
They
it needs to stop.
They impeached Trump twice. Twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Democrats, when they get into power, they use the branches of government, the levers of government, to go after their political opponents. This is what they do. Because again, folks, there are still political prisoners being held after a year. Meanwhile, leftist judges across the country release murderers to the streets that go and commit more murder. Let me show you the story. But the most dangerous time in history.
Waukesha. That's the perfect example. Waukesha.
Look at this. And this is a true story.
That nobody talks about, by the way, anymore. Nobody talks about Waukesha.
Again, just contrasting here. How the left is to conservatives who they see as terrorists. But somebody who commits murder is going to get released because we have to be a compassionate society. Make it make sense, folks. Let me play the story.
Here in Harris County, no fewer than 113 defendants charged with capital murder have been inexplicably granted bond and released back onto our streets pending trial. Let me repeat, we are talking capital murder, the most egregious offense in the criminal code, a conviction for which carries either life imprisonment or the death penalty. And all more than 50,000 accused felons have benefited from the catch and release philosophy of criminal justice perpetrated by the current crop of Democratic reform judges. Now, according to Crime Stoppers, Houston, 155 people have lost their lives at the hands of accused criminals, cut loose from custody, only to kill while on bond.
Dude, this is real. This is measurable. This is not hypothetical. This is not hearsay. This is. You leave your shaking is in, and you're like, okay. Meanwhile, walks into the Capitol building.
40 years in jail.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, this is a terrorist, worse than 9/11. Meanwhile, murderers are released from prison, and crickets. Oh no, because you know why? Because you saw that news. You saw the report. Majority of them are black. The majority of them are minority. This is the truth that nobody. Because you can't say this. You can't speak the truth because then you're racist.
And every single one of these DAs are all bought and paid for by George Soros. People forget. People forget about this guy. When you say his name, you can't say his name. That's mean. That's racist. No, fuck him. He's radicalized and changed everything in this country within legal rights by donating, get these crazy people in. But like Manhattan, the Manhattan district attorney that was just sworn in, he just said all crime is not being prosecuted. Basically, he's like armed robbery. Nope. That's going to be treated as a fucking misdemeanor. It's going to be like petty larceny. Armed robbery. So now walking through the streets of New York, that's already been crazy.
The people who are going to pay for that are the people who live in New York. Right? I mean,
yeah, but
these stupid ass laws that they're passing in New York don't have much of effect on me.
No. But here's the deal. They're all following suit. New York, San Francisco, another Soros prosecutor, Milwaukee, Soros prosecutor.
All shitholes that are going to go even deeper into the hole.
Go look at Phoenix. I guarantee that. I know the mayor, she was a Soros girl. And I guarantee the DA of Phoenix, probably a Soros DA as well. Tucson, bought and paid for by Soros. All have the same problem. Crime is up through the roof in Tucson. Murders, homicides up. DA, Soros. This is facts. This is all fucking facts. You know what I mean? You can go look it up. Look at all the DAs. And Open Society Foundation is what funds them all. You know, that's one of Soros's fronts. You know, so look at all these DAs in all these cities that are dog shit. They're doing this on purpose. They are destroying the cities on purpose, letting it run amok because either they're going to pass some crazy rules to fucking get rid of them all, or they're doing it to destroy the value of these cities so that they can all go back in and say, hey, New York City, guess what? Harlem, it's a shithole again. We're going to offer $10,000 for you to move into these brownstones to gentrify the area, but you have to stay in there for 10 years like they did in the 80s. Those brownstones became fucking $10 million after 10 years. They're doing the same shit, man. Doing the same shit. They're radicalizing and destroying these cities so they can rebuild it to what they want.
Plain and simple. What do they want it to be?
They want it their world. They want it there. They want it for them. They don't want people having fun in cities. They want it for them. They want the rich real estate, the businesses and everything. They control it all. You need criminals to fucking get rid of everybody. And that's what the criminals are doing. If you look at the mass exodus, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, California, and one other liberal state, they're the top five states that everybody's fleeing right now. And where they're all going, South Dakota, Florida, Texas, West Virginia, and South Carolina.
So you're arguing that California is intentionally increasing yes. crime in their state so that the people who live in California
they want to get rid of conservatives from all those states. If you make it miserable for conservatives, they leave. Now you control that fucking state forever.
Right, but you're controlling a third world country because you're controlling the crime and everything. You're controlling
a state with 55 fucking electoral votes.
Well, no,
you're controlling that has how many does New York have? 30 something. They're doing this to.
I'm not following the logic on that because even the liberals eventually are going to get tired of getting mugged on the street or stabbed or shot.
No, they say you would think we deserve
so, Jeremy. You would think so, but they don't. But
we grew up rich. We grew up, you know, this is part of equity. You know, we deserve it. We're white. We're privileged.
And they won't blame it on the liberals who oppress them. They'll blame it on the rich white man,
which is a Democrat mostly.
That's what ends up happening. And it's just a cycle.
White supremacy.
But let's reel it back in. So on the same day that the Democrats, were putting on their clutching pearls charade, Tim sent us a story that broke. Kazakhstan citizens, you know.
That's an insurrection.
Nah, it's Hamas. they were storming, you know, their federal buildings. And so, you know, there's a speculation as to why, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, they removed the gas price. You know, there was a spike in the price of gas and whatever. And so they're saying, oh, well, this is why. But there's unrest that's happening in the world. Now, one interesting thing about Kazakhstan, and this is what I wanted to mention here, because, see, countries look at, and we know what countries, look at the United States, and they see a president there, Biden, they see a weak president who is dead set on dividing the country. See, what they could have done is united the country on January 6th. If this was like Pearl Harbor and 9/11, those events united the country. You know, nobody was Republican or Democrat during those events. Everybody was American. But it's interesting that they want to say, well, January 6th, it was our 9/11, and you know we were. Well, where's the unity? In fact, there was demonization of the other side, and. So you have to think about, well, what's happened? So then countries like China and Russia look at this, look at the United States in this turmoil and in this civil, there is unrest, folks. And it's right now it's simmering. Now, what is that called? Where it's getting ready to boil. What is that called? There's a term for that. But it eventually will, it will boil over. This is going to break out. And when I look at things that, like, for example, in Kazakhstan, where citizens really did storm a federal building, this is what it looks like. Let me play this video for you guys.
They took over an airport.
Yeah. I mean, you see, they're throwing bombs. I don't know what they're throwing, and they also had, like Tim says, they took over a airport. They took over some military people. They had,
yeah, them, you saw that
they,
one.
Yeah, they were
fucking prison. took them right out of the truck.
Yeah, and so I don't know. We don't know, but it's interesting because think about what's happening. Where is Kazakhstan positioned? It's in what is considered Asia. But the position that it's in, it's right in between China and Russia. And so you know, a lot of people are saying, well, be careful because we don't know what these communist countries, what kind of interest they have in Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan has a lot of oil, folks. You know, that's what a lot of people don't know.
And coal.
They have a lot of so when you're talking about a coming of a war and countries positioning themselves to have this availability to natural resources, you look at countries like this and the civil unrest, a country like Russia or China can come in and take advantage of that, right? And a lot of people are saying, well, this is what might happen here. So things are happening in the world stage while we here in the United States are bickering among each other and wondering if we're going to mandate fucking vaccines. But one thing that as I look at these images, and so I'm sorry for the listener, but you know what I mean? This is chaos in the streets and they're taking over federal building. One of the things, like, you know, to your point, Jeremy, and the uniqueness about America is that we are not like them, where they're defenseless, where they have to use whatever tools. We're not. America's armed to the teeth. The regular citizen can be armed to the teeth, and they are. There's people who this is their hobby. And if the Democrats think that they're going to be able to impose any type of fucking mandate, let's say the Supreme Court fails us, you are going to awaken something that you wish you would not have. You know, America's been relatively peaceful up to now, but I don't know how long that's going to last. Yep.
So something interesting about Kazakhstan, right? Because of all this unrest that's going on in the country, and because they have a lot of resources, oil, coal. One thing that a lot of people didn't realize was apparently a lot of Bitcoin mining, a lot of crypto mining has been going through Kazakhstan because it's very cheap to do it because of energy, because of this unrest. Oh yeah, crypto's Bitcoin's down 40%.
Because of Kyrgyzstan over here.
Yep. This has something. It was already going down, but this unrest is definitely. I mean, it took it down another. It took it from 52. Now it's at 42.
The beautiful thing about Bitcoin is that it's not like that money's lost, right? You're just losing the compute power that's going to do the hashing of the data, of the transactions. That's all you're losing. Okay, so let's go into the whole SCOTUS thing. What happened? I might play some clips of this. You guys remember the Boston Tea Party? I'm talking about Boston.
wait, you're asking me if I was there?
No, yeah. I mean, you guys have heard the story, right? The history about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, imagine what do you think they would think of the modern world today? You know, with how
the founding fathers?
Yeah, you know, or the people who, you know, like I said, revolted and said, hey, we're not going to take this, you know, taxation without representation.
It would have been censored on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they would look around and go, what happened?
And, like a guy wears dresses?
No, yeah. Just.
Yeah, I think they'd be.
Oh, same. Yeah. But,
so the reason I ask that is because, you know, the mayor, and I think you sent this to me, Tim, this is a few weeks ago. The mayor of Boston came out saying that they were gonna ban unvaccinated, anyone who was unvaccinated, from attending you know, any events, restaurants, theaters. And so then the contrast, right? You have the people who founded the country with the idea that, hey, you're not gonna tax me. A tax on tea. And here we are in the modern world, and we're like, we're tolerating people who are telling us they're going to put something in our bodies without our, you know, saying what they'll say is, well, we're not forcing it on you. We're just not letting you, you know, go about your life. We're not letting you work. We're not letting you, you know, do what you want to do unless you do as we say. And I saw a meme the other day, and it was a guy saying, you know, you don't have to have sex with me, but if you don't, you won't be able to work and you won't be able to do this. And is he forcing you to have sex?
Okay, I know what Webstein. What's his name?
No, it's coercion. You're being coerced. Mm-hmm. And this is that's the Nuremberg code shit, right? Experimental shit. You're not supposed to be coerced into doing something you don't want to do and putting in your body, blah, blah, blah. And they're literally violating it in plain sight. You are violating this Nuremberg code. And people go, no, because the vaccine is approved. No, it's the version of the vaccine they're giving of the jab. It is still under emergency use authorization. The one that's actually approved is not even being made right now. It's not even distributed. So they got to stop that nonsense. And that's where I was pissed about in the SCOTUS hearing. They didn't bring that up. Yeah. They did not bring that up.
The three hours, I think, was the whole hearing. But before we get to it, so think about what we just said, which is, you know, there's what's happening to the people who are prisoners of the January 6th thing. The judges who let go of murderers, people who commit murder, and then they go on and commit murder again. And so the left is willing to look away when there are real crimes that are committed, real crimes. But you're unvaccinated, you're an unvaccinated family. You know, we saw Tim was sending us videos. The police is going to go in and they're going to forcibly remove you. And you think, it's like, what kind of fucking dystopian world are we living in, folks, where we tolerate that? Where I think, you know, 200 years ago, there was a different breed of people who had a different outlook on life. And it is because we have relative peace and affluence in society today, that we don't understand how quickly we could lose this shit if we do not, you know, see this. And, you know, because, for example, they what they're doing is that they're considering a virus that has a 99% survival rate, that it's more dangerous. That is more dangerous than, you know, the moral decay of society. And we said it since the beginning of the show. We've always said health over everything. The left, for some reason, we've become obsessed with health. Forget character, forget who you are as a person. Are you healthy? That's all we're worried about, to keep you healthy. It's like, so there's things that are more important than just health, folks. Because if you're a rotten human being, why would I want to keep somebody like that alive? You see what I'm saying? But in my opinion, like I said, there are more important things than health. There's no good. You do no good to society if you're a healthy asshole. You see what I'm saying? Or a healthy murderer. Why does that help society? It doesn't. And the reason I'm saying all this is because, you know, I was listening to the Supreme Court, the special session that they had, you know, listening to OSHA's, they're making the case for the mandates and the questioning from the judges. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? Because the way that the liberal judges and even some of the conservative ones, they're taking what the news says at face value. They're saying that, oh yeah, this is true. This is 100% true. And therefore this is, and that's why, you know, what you had, what's his name saying, folks, the judges were stating out flat out lies that children were dying from this. That's a lie.
100,000 children.
Yeah.
Sotomayor was saying, there was 100,000 children on ventilators right now in hospitals. That's a bold-faced fucking lie. That's not even close. If there was 100,000 children on ventilators due to COVID, you don't think that'd be on every news channel going beep, 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 beep? That would be, you wouldn't never hear the end of it. There's like 600 kids that have been like diagnosed with COVID You know what I mean? Like, go away. You know, like the numbers and the shit she was saying was just
Lord. What's his Breyer? Stephen Breyer, I think is his name.
Oh yeah.
He was questioning, again, he's one of the liberals. You know, he was reading out numbers of newly infected cases, which by the way, Biden was supposed to put a stop to that, you know?
And yeah, with vaccines, yeah. We have more fucking COVID cases.
Okay, so then, the Stephen Breyer says, we have a pandemic and it's only getting worse. And it's as if he's not listening to his own words. More people are vaccinated and it's getting worse. He doesn't make the correlation. Either A, the fucking vaccines are contributing to the it getting worse, quote unquote, or it's not fucking working. And so what are we doing? And so, you know, I'll play some of it, but one of the points, you know, because the liberal judges, you know, obviously want to see this mandated because, and you could hear them, they're wearing their fucking masks because they're all muffled. Fucking stupid. So one of them asks, well, you know, OSHA's regulated workplace, you know, safety for a long time. Why not this? You know, if they can tell you to wear a hard hat or you have to have this certain meet these certain type of criteria, why can't they tell you that you have to be vaccinated? And one of the attorneys who was against the mandate and is asking for a stay, in other words, that the Supreme Court block it, said something brilliant, and said, well, when OSHA creates a rule that says you have to wear gloves in this environment, when you leave that environment, you take off those gloves. When you leave work, you cannot take off the vaccine.
Right.
And when I heard the judge try to come back from that, I was like, that's a blow, man. That's beautiful. And it's true. Yeah, Tim.
No, I mean, that's where, between the misinformation and the things they were saying, because I was gonna run down a couple of the things that Sotomayor said once you were done, because all these things that she was claiming, and even Brewer, because they kept going, and I think it was Alito or Thomas, they asked like a simple question, and I forget what it was, but it was something like, does OSHA mandate? Why, you know, how come OSHA doesn't mandate the flu vaccine then? Because that kills tens of thousands every year. And they were like, at that point, you're done. Right. Because they were like, you know, because it was like, do they do this for any other infectious disease? And they were like, no. But, you know, this is no, not different. The flu is very highly transmissible. There's no, if you count how many deaths, how many flu related deaths there have been since we've started counting, I guarantee it's more than COVID. The flu is probably is a hell of a lot more deadlier than COVID. Let's be real. But real quick, some of the things that this fucking genius that sits on the Supreme Court said, she claimed COVID deaths are at an all-time high. She claimed that Omicron has been deadlier than Delta, which we know is a fucking lie. It's the complete opposite. She said OSHA's regulatory authority is a federal police power. There is no such thing as federal police.
But there is no such thing. Let me pause you there, Tim, because there is none. But that shows you their mentality of the left, because they want that. Think of a country like Mexico, you know, who has Los Federales, La Policía Federal. That's federal police. That's a, you know, direct translation, federal police, meaning that the federal government has police in each of their states. That does not exist here in the United States. And that's scary that Biden could be in control of a police force controlling the citizen. That's scary. That's authoritarian. But that's what they want. Yeah.
Right. Well, we all know they're the party of authoritarianism. Here's the last one. And this one got me. And this one, I was just like, I had to stop listening to this dumb thing. She also asked, listen to this, Jeremy. She's like, why is a human spewing a virus not like a machine spewing sparks.
Yes.
Okay. That is her logic of why we need mandates.
I'm sorry.
What is a human spewing a virus not like a machine spewing sparks?
What she's suggesting is that OSHA controls workplace safety, right? And so they regulate or they create, I don't know if they create policy, but in other words, they regulate, right? That's the term for it.
Regulation.
Workplace safety. And so you as a company, if you're going to have machinery, heavy machinery that has sparks, then your employees need to wear a certain type of gear, a certain type of goggles, certain type of stuff to protect themselves. And it's mandatory. It's federally mandated. And so then she's saying, well, how is a machine that spews out sparks any different than a human being who spews out a virus?
Okay. So if OSHA requires XYZ welding company to put up a protective barrier between the welder and the people walking next to the welder, then they should require every business to put up a wall in between every single one of their employees and every single one of their employees that walks by.
Right. And so the people who are opposing the mandates, the attorneys who are opposing the mandates, because there was a lot of representation there, a lot of attorneys representing the states, all these different. Okay. They said the amount of money that it would require for a business to do that, to accommodate that, would be so massive. The burden would be so heavy, and it's not guaranteeing that the person won't get it. And this is one of the good points that they made was the virus is not a workplace thing, because that heavy machinery that spews out sparks does not follow you to your home. While you as an individual could be at your own house and could be spreading that. So this is not a workplace only issue. And so OSHA should not be regulating something that's not only a workplace issue. And so then what they're saying is that it's broader, it's bigger. Some of them were arguing it's bigger than OSHA. Why does OSHA feel that by them imposing this stuff here at a workplace, that they're going to have an impact on a virus when that same goddamn person can go to the fucking bar and go over there, go here and spread it anywhere else? You're not going to stop it. So then it's a fucking fallacy to think that if you impose this, you're going to stop it. It's stupid.
Well, Justice Kagan turned around and said, well, COVID vaccines stopped transmission.
Oh, God.
Wait, what?
No.
They are literally, lying. Right. But the things that they are saying, they are not looking at law. They're looking at political talking points, policy talking points, CDC talking points that have already been debunked, because they even say, like, oh yeah, well, we know everybody that's vaccinated and boosted and fucking seen an uptick in everybody getting them. They're not breakthroughs anymore. Everybody's getting this. The efficacy of the vaccine has worn out completely. So it doesn't stop transmission. Two of the lawyers that were against the mandates, both were tested positive today, but they've still talked through the whole case.
They're on Zoom
and they're triple boosted. They're triple vaxxed. Mm-hmm. And they got it. So right there, because some of the liberals were like, oh, that's irony. They're like, yeah, it is irony. You're trying to mandate something that the guys fighting against it have, that it's fully vaxxed. So mandating, what's that going to prove? You're going to get it still. And you still have to quarantine for 5 days. They're like, oh, well, I'm vaccinated. I got it. I can still fucking go live my life. No, you got to go hide in your house for 5 days. Because you don't want to get people sick. They contradict themselves. But the problem here is the fact that Supreme Court justices were spewing misinformation and looking at policy and not law. The only question is, does OSHA have the right to mandate a vaccine in the workplace? It's either get the vaccine or lose your job. There are only two choices, right? Is it OSHA's responsibility to do that? Is it government overreach? Should it be the legislation that does it? Because Kavanaugh actually brought up a point. He goes, They've had a year. They've been dealing with this. Why has no legislation been brought up about this?
Exactly.
And they referenced Roger Clain. Roger Clain's tweet. He's like the chief, the White House chief of whatever
staff, yeah.
And chief of staff. He even tweets out where somebody said, "Hey, this is a workaround of law." He retweeted that, and Kavanaugh goes, "Well, look, your own guys are admitting that this is a workaround to get around fucking the legislator." And they're like, "Well, blah blah." No, you're admitting that this is a workaround. Right. And you're trying to go around law.
And you know why that is, Tim? You know why? Because, see, and this is the cowardice in the legislative body. Because they could easily pass a law that would have prevented it from even going to the courts, because the courts would have said, well, there's law. They passed the law. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
But
wouldn't have passed.
But they're cow. Exactly. Not only, let's say if they had the votes. They're cowards because they know that a lot of people don't like this. And
yeah,
that
they won't vote for
and them. They won't fucking vote for them. They know how unpopular this is, because even some of our friends who would vote for, you know, these leftists, if they found out that they voted for these mandates, they would be like, I'm not voting for you.
Yeah.
You know, we agree on policy, but we don't agree on the lockdowns and we don't agree on mandates. Yeah.
You know, how do you go to a minority community and after you pass this law and say, well, sorry, you lost your job, but you need to vote for me because I got your best interest. Like, no, motherfucker, you voted for a fucking law that keeps me getting something that I don't want and I don't have a job.
One of the things, and this is, again, brilliant, you know, when they were arguing about, you know, the impact that it's going to have, the folks that were, you know, opposing the mandate, they said, you know, this is going to be, you know, we've assessed that it's going to be an immediate impact. There will be millions of people who are going to abandon their jobs. They're not going to get this vaccine. That is such a blow to the economy, you know. And so what he's saying is, is it worth it to lose all this and create this chaos? Now these people are now dependent on government. Now this and all, you see. And so then the attorney arguing for it, the mandate, said, that's wrong. And with the help of one of the judges, you know, recalls what the attorney had said and said, hey, this is not true, right? And so the attorney arguing for the mandate said, no, it's not true at all. It would probably take a month or two before they quit. And I'm like, so just because it didn't happen that day, it'll happen 2 months later. Oh, these are the fact checkers.
Well, Citibank.
From, yeah.
Well, Citibank just announced today, February 1st, if you're not vaxxed, you're fired. All unvaccinated people being fired from Citibank on February 1st. Okay. That's why this ruling is very important, because if they decide to move forward with that, now there's lawsuits that possibly be involved. Because, you know, if Citi does it, American Express is next, Discover is next, and then it just starts going down the chain. And all the companies that said, well, you can work from home and not be vaccinated, they can turn around and say, you know what? We want everybody vaxxed. That's our policy, because we agree with vaccines, because they got a shitload of money from Pfizer, because that's what's coming next. It's okay. The government can't enforce it, but can a business still enforce it? That's going to be the next question. Can a private business now turn around and say, for you to be employed, you need a vaccine, because that's our policy. But now that breaks your employment contract, because when I signed up and I got employed by you, there was nothing that said I needed to be vaccinated. So I don't know how that one will hold up in court, because I think that would lose.
Yeah, as well. It would
lose. I think they would all get sued.
And it's because it's a violation of HIPAA, right? For the same reason that an employer can't ask you if you have AIDS. They can't, yeah. Folks. They can't
even ask if you have herpes.
They can't. And that's so because there's laws against that. And the last I heard, there was no adjustment to HIPAA. Yeah.
So if HIPAA protects the company from asking that question, how can they ask you if you're vaccinated?
Exactly.
Because it's an OSHA mandate. They're getting around all the laws. See, this is why this vaccine doesn't make not a lick of sense, because it's not about health. It's about complying. It's control. About getting control. It's about getting you now on this system of you're complying. And now for you to be a part of society, because if you look at what happened in France, fucking the president of France, that piece of shit, Macron, whatever the fuck you want to call him. He turned around and said, yep, I'm declaring it now. If you're not vaccinated, you are now considered a non-citizen in my eyes. So what comes next? If you're a non-citizen, you can't vote. That's what's coming next.
Yeah. And
well,
it
sounds to me like there will be another revolution in France.
I think there's going to be a revolution around the fucking world because people ain't paying attention to what's going on in Amsterdam. You see the fire, they got dogs fucking going after people. Literally latching on to people.
I don't want to deviate from this. I'm going to say a couple more things. So,
yeah, sorry.
One of the things with Judge Sotomayor, she suggested that to your point, Tim, that the vaccinations were basically the only answer to the pandemic. This was the way that she said it. And again, as I was listening to this and I'm listening to the line of questioning, I mean, they were showing their hand as far as where they stood and what they wanted, because they were very heavy-handed with their, with their questions to the folks who were opposing the mandates. And that's when I realized, I'm like, they've bought it hook, line, and sinker. They've bought all the lies. You know, an institution that should hold on to, reason and logic is now in the business of peddling hysteria and emotions. Mm-hmm. And they kept mentioning Sotomayor and Stephen Breyer. They kept mentioning the deaths and the number of cases as this is unprecedented. You know, it's never happened. But then nobody talks about not even the people who were opposing the mandate. Nobody was saying how minuscule the death rate is compared to the survival rate. And to me, that you would think that should be a point of logic. Okay, so let's look at the numbers. 59 million COVID cases in America. 59 million people have gotten COVID. Out of those 59 million people, 855,000, and that's an inflated number because a lot of those deaths should not have been counted, but let's just say that it is. 855,000 deaths. And we want to focus on those. And we'll say, oh my God, look at that. 42 million people survived, folks. I mean, there was other people who are sick and whatever. But 42 million people have recovered. And they're doing just fine. And I don't understand why the people who were opposing the mandate didn't mention this, because when you hear the judges, they're appealing to emotion and hysteria. And to me, the way you answer that is with facts. You say, well, hold on a minute. Hold on. Let's look at this. Let's look at the numbers. And do we say then what do we say about the 42 million who have survived?
I agree. I think they were trying to stay away from any negative spins of COVID, right? Because if you start talking about deaths and if you say, oh, 42 made it, fuck the 800,000. Now they could turn around and say, you look like an asshole.
Well, true.
Right? So from a lawyer's perspective,
you're right.
That's a moot point because we're not arguing about the seriousness of COVID. We're arguing. This is the case.
You're right, Tim. Maybe that point should not have been made by the attorneys who were arguing for or against the case. Sure. But the thing is that you have the judges who are sitting there and their line of questioning is not based on reason, not based on logic, not based on what the, precedent, not based on any of that, but just hysteria. Right? Hysteria. This is what it is. Here is where, and what differs, and what frustrates me, is that here's where I would have felt a one of the conservative judges to come in and say, "Wait, hold on a minute," right? Because they're at the same level, and say
judges saying that should, I would agree.
Yeah, they should have been like, "Hey, hold on a minute. This is not what we do here." And they have decorum and they have professional. And to me, it's like, dude, this woman is sitting there. Talking to this guy and painting, like you said, Tim, trying to paint him as if, oh, well, do you not care about human life? And it's like, that's disgusting to me. It's like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't be. And see, so that's why I said, I want somebody to answer that and say, no, You know, 8,000 people die every day. Every single day in the United States, 8,000 people die. That equals to 5.8 million people a year. How does COVID compare to that? And why is COVID unprecedented? It is not, folks. It is not. It's just, it's a fact of life. It was affecting the old who die from old age. This is has been happening since the beginning of man. And anyway, I'm getting angry.
Oh, I agree. And again, though, but what do we always say? Fuck your feelings, facts over feelings. At that point, they were hitting him with facts regarding this mandate that they were like, to where even if we already know two out of the three, because I think one of them was actually like, there was a question asked and he was like, ooh, because the U.S. government couldn't even answer it correctly when he was asking about the mandates. But even the judge was like, what? Like, he had to scratch his head, right? with something that was said. And it was always like, ooh, maybe, you know, like I already think the workplace one over, you know, the 100, mm-hmm. I think that's going to, the stay is going to stay. And I think the CMS one for the hospitals, I think some of it's going to stay and some of it won't, because there was some good arguments in there where they were going, well, CMS gets money, you know, from the government, but now they're using it to hold people accountable. It was some weird shit. I was that was interesting.
The line of questioning, didn't
really focused on that one.
The line of questioning that Sotomayor did on that, which is basically, so she's saying, they were saying, look, the federal government has an interest in making sure that whatever they pay for, you know, they're okay with. And so what they're saying is, shouldn't the government then be, because what's happening is that people who are on Medicaid, Medicare, whatever, that's government money, right? The government is the one who's footing the bill for them. Now, these people don't want to get vaccinated, and they want, they want to go to a hospital where there's a nurse who doesn't want to get vaccinated. The government says, hey, we're footing the bill to this hospital, to this nurse. Our interest is that nurse be vaccinated, right? Why can't we do that? And see, this is and you know, some people say, well, yeah, you know, it's the federal government. They should regulate that. But where does it end? And if the government's in the business of healthy people, and if they're footing the bill, then how come they don't force people to stop eating Twinkies and all this and all that shit? And so you would think, well, no, they would never do that. But then once it becomes universal, right, which is Obamacare, which is the government controlled, once government's footing the bill, they will decide what you get to do and when you can't do. Governments always do that. Anyway, folks, we're going to have to leave it there, Tim, because we'll cover Battle of the Generations on the next one. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Find us on... dude, when are we going to join Getter? We need to join Getter.
We're on Getter.
Or you are
the Salty Show's on Getter.
Oh shit.
Salty Show's on Getter.
No shit. Okay. We're on Getter, folks.
I repost that. I do a couple things every once in a while. I mean, I'm always awesome on Twitter, man. Because Twitter's a little slow on my phone, so it's not fluid.
The truth platform is coming in a couple months, or next month, or when is it?
February 1st, I think they announced.
So we'll keep an eye on that. Once it comes out, we'll be on there for sure. Give us a follow, hit the like button, share some of the content, and we will catch you all next time. Adios.
See ya.
Free Matt Walsh. Free Matt Walsh.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the
Salty Show.com.